Thank you for joining me. I'm Kimberly Rogers, and you're listening to the Torah portion for November 30th and December 1st, 2012. This teaching is brought to you by themessianicmessage.com, themessianicmessage.com. I hope that you enjoy this teaching. Today, I am trembling and in just such great awe of Yehovah and great expectation from what happened yesterday. But before we get started, let's pray. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, Creator of all things, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our Elohim, here at the end, we thank you and praise you for the way that you are unfolding your word and that you will soon be bringing us home. I just thank you and praise you for everything that you are doing and ask that you will be with my lips and my tongue in this teaching, because I only want your words to be heard. If anything comes from me, let it fall to the ground and die. And Abba, I just ask that you would keep your hand on our brethren in Israel now, after what has happened, and that you would keep your hand on all of us worldwide who believe in you and are openly declaring your covenant. You said that if we would repent and accept the iniquity of ourselves and our forefathers and accept our exile and accept the reason for our exile, that at a certain point, you would remember your covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You also said that you declare the beginning, declare the end from the beginning, and that you tell your people what you're going to do. And Abba, we have seen your hand. We have seen the prophecies that we've been looking for come to fruition just yesterday. And Abba, I trust that the other prophecies that we're looking for will soon be coming to fruition as well. And I just ask that you would open everyone's hearts to accept your Torah and to start bringing your people to you. Just ask it all in the name of Yeshua and in his praise. I lift up this prayer. Amen. What happened this week, actually what happened yesterday at the UN, in the General Assembly, with this vote on the non-member status of the Palestinians in the UN, it was nothing less than maybe one of the most important days in the history of the earth. So I'm going to do this Torah portion in light of yesterday's momentous event, and I want you to understand two things. The Palestinians won statehood status and they divided Jerusalem. I know that they're not telling you that in the news, but I'm going to tell it to you now, and I'm going to prove it because of their own words, okay? The vote yesterday said that the new Palestinian state was not yet a member of the United Nations. They're calling it a non-member state. It wasn't that they got to be just a non-member. You cannot be a non-member of the UN. You have to be a government in order to join the UN. So you have to actually get recognition by the UN as a government, as a state. And it was announced that way in the speech preceding the vote. And it was the status that was given to the Palestinians in that vote. They are a state now that is able to observe what happens in the UN as a non-member. Now, all of the headlines, if you've been reading Beast Watch News, the headlines really do tell it like it is. The Palestinian state is being called that, a Palestinian state, by all of the news agencies. But, you know, they made it seem like this vote was just an upgrade, just merely an upgrade. We're just going to let a boss sit his butt in a seat and warm that seat just to see what's going on in there. No, there was much more to this. Yesterday, they created the Palestinian state. Today, even in the news, on Friday, November 30th, the Palestinians are calling themselves a state of Palestine, a Palestinian state. I'm going to read to you some of the text that was voted on. This is just some of the text that was voted on, okay? Here's part of it. They use this language reaffirming. So here are the things they are reaffirming. Reaffirming its resolution 3236 of 22 November 1974 and all relevant resolutions, including resolution 66/146 of 19 December 2011, reaffirming the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination, including the right to their independent state of Palestine. Reaffirming the principle of universality of membership of the United Nations. 1. Reaffirms the right of the Palestinian people to self-determination and to independence in their state of Palestine on the basis of the pre-1967 borders. Recognizes that to date 132 state members of the United Nations have accorded recognition to the state of Palestine. Notice they're saying state of Palestine. Decides to accord to Palestine, observer state status. See, they're deciding to accord Palestinian observer state status in the United Nations system without prejudice to the required rights, privileges, and role of the Palestine Liberation Organization as the representative of the Palestinian people in accordance with the relevant resolutions and practice. Folks, this is what they voted on yesterday. This is what that vote was. This is all the language, or not all of the language, but some of the language that was in here. Continue listening. Reaffirming its resolution 43/176 of 15 December 1988, resolution 66/17 of 30 November 2011, and all relevant resolutions regarding the peaceful settlement of the question of Palestine, which, inter alia, stress the need for a, get this, the withdrawal of Israel from the Palestinian territory occupied since 1967, including East Jerusalem. They're dividing Jerusalem. B, the realization of the inalienable rights of the Palestinian people, primarily the right to self-determination and the right to their independent state. And C, a just resolution of the problem of the Palestinian refugees in conformity with Resolution 194 of 11 December 1948 and complete cessation of all Israeli settlement activities in the occupied Palestinian territory, including East Jerusalem. And I'm going to have more on that in a little bit. Recalling also its resolution 43/177 of 15 December 1988, by which it, inter alia, acknowledged the proclamation of the State of Palestine by the Palestine National Council on 15 November 1988, and decided that the designation Palestine should be used in place of the designation Palestine Liberation Organization in the United Nations system without prejudice to to the observer status and functions of the Palestine Liberation Organization within the United Nations system, and finally, reaffirming also its resolution 66/18 of 30 November 2011 and all relevant resolutions regarding the status of Jerusalem, bearing in mind that the annexation of East Jerusalem is not recognized by the international community, and emphasizing the need for a way to be found through negotiations to resolve the status of Jerusalem as the capital of two states. Folks, what they voted for yesterday was a lot more than just a boss being able to put his butt and warm up a seat in the UN General Assembly. In this Torah portion, Jacob is now in full quest to return to the land of his inheritance, and that causes a problem. We are returning too, and we are running into the same problem. But what is the first thing that happens to Jacob as he tries to bring the whole family, the united family, not just part of it, back to the land? Well, he is met with forces that greatly outnumber him. Let's turn to Genesis 32, verse 3. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother to the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak to my lord Esau, your servant Jacob said thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in your sight." Well, right there's a whole bunch of stuff that I can't even begin to cover because of time constraints. But here's what it is. Jacob knows who it is that's in the land. He also knows that he has not been in the land. You know, he's been scattered as we are today. So this is why we are facing the same situation as Jacob now that we have decided to go back to the land. In verse 6, "And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, We came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 men with him." Now, did you notice that Esau comes with the Messiah to greet Jacob? No, you didn't notice that? Let me explain it. He comes with 400 men. In order to understand this, and to understand what just happened yesterday, we have to understand this number 400. Well, 400 is the tav. The number 400 in Hebrew is represented by the letter tav. Tav is the last Hebrew letter of the alphabet to be assigned a number. Numbers higher than that are calculated by adding Hebrew letter numbers together using the standard method. So 400 is the largest single number that can be represented in the standard method without using the Sophit forms. Now, there are other methods of Hebrew numbering, but in the standard method of Hebrew numbering, this is how it goes. So this puts the Tav in the final place in the Aleph Bet, and 400 in the final place of the numbers 2. And this is significant if you look at it just on a time scale. You know, Yeshua said, "I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end." But the Aleph starts the process and it ends with the Tav. So this Tav is an end time thing. Now let's go to Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 4, because that verse right there in Ezekiel 9:4 depicts a vision of the future. in which the Tav actually plays a Passover role similar to the blood on the lintel and doorposts of a Hebrew home in ancient Egypt. What do I mean when I say that the Tav played a Passover role? Well, let's read that verse, Ezekiel 9:4. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof." You see, in Ezekiel's vision, the Lord has his angels separating the wheat from the chaff by going through Jerusalem and inscribing a mark, a tav. And right there in that text, it is tav vav, upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, you know, I've seen a man that has a tav on the back of his neck and on his forehead that was very interesting. But that's what he's doing. He's marking these people in the same way that they were marked at the first Passover. That, of course, you know, marked blood on the doorpost that looks like a tav. But these angels are actually marking the doorpost on their foreheads. And isn't that what it says about that 144,000 men who will be marked and sealed this way? So the Lord is actually going through Jerusalem, counting Jews and other Israelites by using the tav, which is shaped like a doorpost, as the mark that will cause him to spare those people who he deems are worthy of salvation from those that he deems are worthy of annihilation, those who lack the tav in their forehead. They lack that number 400 at the end of time. And it is this critical attitude that is signified here in 9:4. Now, this may be significant for the time of year that Jacob began his journey back to the land as well, because it may be that the tav, the mark, the doorpost in Ezekiel 9:4, is telling us when Jacob went back to the land. It may be that at the time that it would have been Passover, we would have said that this is Passover when he went back to the land, because he's being met by 400, the tav, the doorpost. Okay, this is the mark of our Messiah. Okay, now I'm going to explain here in a minute how this gets associated with Esau. Hang in here with me. But because Jacob is journeying back and he meets up with the tav, the doorpost, the mark that seals Messiah's people, it may be that he went back to the land at Passover time, or maybe he was getting there at Passover time. But more likely, I'm thinking it has to do with when he left Laban, just as it has to do with when the people left Egypt at Passover. And so while this is all very interesting for what the 400 or the tav means for Jacob and actually for us, we still have to face the fact that the Messiah is showing up with Esau. There's 400 tav men with Esau. Well, here's what it is. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32, verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 or tav men with him." And again in Genesis 33, verse 1, we see this mention of the 400 men. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. So we're going to take a look at these 400 men. First of all, we see that there is no description of these men, and they are mentioned twice, so we know that the Lord wants us to pay attention to them. Now, the number 4 is always associated with the Messiah. The number 40 then is associated with Messiah's testing, and 400, as I've already explained, is the tav, or the sign of the Messiah. And because it's coming, this 400 men, these tav men, are with Esau, we're going to be getting a sign about Esau, which I'm going to explain in a minute. But let's take a further look at what is the sign of our Messiah, because Esau comes with a sign. He comes with a mark, a tav, a 400 that marks. Okay? That's what tav means. It means the mark. Tav is the sign. It is in the Paleo Hebrew, it was a cross, a kind of a sideways skewed cross. It was called the sign. So Esau is coming with a sign, a mark of his own. We're going to look at that in a minute, but let's go to see what is the sign of our Messiah. Exodus 31:13. Speak you also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths, plural, you shall keep, for it is a sign, a tav, between me and you throughout your generations. Now that word sign there is oat, which is has an aleph, tav, in it. It's not just a tav, but it is the oat, the sign there. And it is for you to know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. And then in Exodus 13 verse 6, it says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. And you shall show your son in that day. What day? In that day. Where are we? We are in that day. Saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did to me when I came forth out of Egypt, and it shall be a sign, an oat, to you upon your hand. Upon your hand. What does the book of Revelation say? That Hasatan, the beast, what does the beast do? He marks the hand. And it is for a memorial between your eyes. Where does the mark go on the 144,000? Between the eyes, on the forehead, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand has the Lord brought you out of Egypt. Folks, the Sabbaths are the sign of our Messiah. But what is the mark, the tav, of Esau? May I submit to you that it is the Bismillah. Yesterday, we witnessed the onslaught of Esau's 400 men. You see, there is a certain progression in Scripture in which this prophecy occurs. Esau presents himself with his 400 men first, and then he presents himself on his own individually to Jacob second. Yesterday, we saw the onslaught of the 400 tav men with their own mark and their own Messiah. Now, Esau, the commander, sent the 400 men to greet Jacob. And yesterday we witnessed that Esau put his sign, the Bismillah, on the land of Israel with the blessing of the entire world. Now you're probably saying, well, there were some that abstained and some that voted no. Listen, those 41 abstention votes and 9 no votes are meaningless. Why? Because Jehovah is a covenant God, and he works within legal frameworks. A majority vote always speaks for the entire populace, doesn't it? This is why we here in America now have such angst about the judgment that is coming to America. It is not just coming to some Americans who stupidly voted for that momser Obama. It is coming to all of us because that majority vote spoke for the entire country. Now, the only hope we have as individuals within this country that's going to be judged is to be in covenant with Jehovah, because that covenant trumps this popular vote. You see, God always trumps what people do. And the UN follows this same legal framework. So, this was not yet, though, the kiss of Esau. That kiss will come from individual man to another individual man. It will be coming from Obama to Netanyahu. So the next thing we're going to see is Esau Obama biting Jacob Netanyahu. Genesis 33:4. And Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Now, there are jots over that word kiss. Many sages say that the kiss of Esau was disingenuous. What he wanted to do was bite Jacob in the neck, you know, with his teeth. That's what the jots are. They're teeth marks. In order to see how this bears out in that actual verse, Genesis 33:4, let's look at some other words. For instance, the word embraced. That's Strong's 22:63, and it's kabak. And it means to clasp the hands, or to embrace. It also means fold. And the word fell, it's Strong's 53:07, which is nafal. It means literally to fall in a great variety of application, but it has as one of its ways to be interpreted is to divide and to overthrow, to overwhelm, as so you can, or to throw down. So you can see that there is more to this nafal, or fell on his neck, than just that he fell on his neck. And then the word neck, which is Strong's 66:77, it's tzavar, and it means in the sense of binding. It's the back of the neck, as that on which burdens are bound. Okay? And then we have as kissed is Strong's 54:01, which is nashak. It is the idea of fastening, as in the mode of attachment. It also means to equip with weapons. Isn't that interesting? So what we have here in the hidden meanings of these words is that Esau clasped Jacob as if to make him fall from the way Esau bound him at the back of the neck. Esau bound him at the back of Jacob's neck to kiss or attach himself to Jacob's neck. Does that make sense? Esau clasped Jacob as if to make him fall from the way that he was bound by the back of his neck by Esau, who was trying to kiss or attach himself to Jacob's neck. Now I want to take you to another scripture. Remember Genesis 27:40. This is when Isaac gave the blessing to Esau, and it says, "And by your sword shall you live, and shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass that when you shall have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off your neck." Huh. So that kiss was to be a revenge kiss. Esau is going to try to put a yoke on Jacob's neck. And guess what that yoke is? That yoke is Jerusalem. So, first, we learn of the 400 men, the Tav men, who bring their own mark with them, the mark of the beast. And then comes Esau to kiss Jacob. Yesterday's vote was a vote to part the land, to part Jerusalem, and to put a yoke on Jacob worldwide. Now let's go to Joel chapter 3, verse 2. It says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Now that word there is kalak. It's Strong's 2505, and that's a very interesting word there because in other places, in the scripture, it is translated as divide or divided. And Hebrew has several other words for dividing something, but this word kalak is used to indicate dividing or parting Jehovah's land for an inheritance. You can see this in Numbers 26:53, Joshua 13:7, 1 Kings 18:6, Nehemiah 9:22, Ezekiel 45:1, Daniel 11:39, Amos 7:17. That is the crux of this vote, folks. Who is going to get to inherit Jehovah's land? And that English word parted here in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, well, that was what the UN called that vote yesterday. It was a vote for the partition plan. Get it? Part. They parted my land, the partition plan. Do you suppose the Lord directed that King James Version translator to use that specific word, part, instead of divide, as some of the other translations do? Yesterday, those Tav men drank from the cup of reeling. Today, the PA is calling their situation a state. And Obama has today condemned Israel's latest settlements. Why? Because under this thing they voted on yesterday, they said that this is what's going to happen. Those settlements are going to be illegal. Now, we know that they have said all along that they're illegal, but now they have the world behind them to enforce this. Obama has now created this Palestinian state by working behind the scenes, and he is now poised to try to cut the Jews off at the knees because he got it so that they declared East Jerusalem the capital of that PA state. Now, I've just read that to you at the beginning of this Torah portion. Now, let's go to Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples. The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will surely be hurt themselves, or will surely hurt themselves, and all the nations of the earth will gather against it. Now let's look at a word that is in this verse, and that word is cup. Let's go and look at Strong's 5592. It is saf. And the original sense of this word is containing, okay? But it is also a vestibule. You know what a vestibule is. It separates one area from another area. It puts a limit, okay? The other word, there are several other words here, but one of the words that can be this word can be translated as is threshold. You know what they did yesterday? They broke Jehovah's threshold covenant. It's like if somebody came in and stole your stuff by coming over your threshold into your house. This is the legal reason right here why the Lord can go after them, because he said, Jerusalem is mine. And they have now come over the threshold and they have stolen what he said was his. So Jacob comes with words of peace, but Esau greets him with force. Esau gets over this threshold into Jehovah's house and says, I am going to live here. I'm going to put my Bismillah here. I'm going to put my mark here. You're not going to have your mark here. See, that's just what happened yesterday. Now, Obama. Oh, yeah, he makes me want to vomit. That's why I said that. Obama could confirm this vote within 1 week. Now, they will probably have to go back to the Security Council because there were some nations in the Security Council that abstained or voted no. And so, because Obama has now condemned the East Jerusalem settlements that Netanyahu announced today, Netanyahu defied Obama. And so now Obama is going to have to do something. He's going to be pressured by the PA and by other nations to do something about those Jews. So now you can see what's coming. Somebody is going to have to be the he that confirms the covenant with many. Okay? And I think that somebody is going to be Obama. And he's going to declare East Jerusalem to be the capital of Palestine. He's going to use the wording in the resolution that was voted on yesterday where it says East Jerusalem will be the capital of the two states, that it's going to become the capital of Palestine instead of Ramallah, and it will be called an international city. This is how it's going to take place. Let's go to Zechariah 14:2, where it says, For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity, and the residue of the people will not be cut off from the city. You see? Half of the city goes into captivity. East Jerusalem goes into captivity. That is what is going to happen when Obama goes to the United Nations Security Council to confirm what Daniel said in chapter 927 about yesterday's vote. And he will move to stop the Jewish settlements in East Jerusalem because the Palestinians rose up today and said that they have now violated the Palestinian state. So they're going to be giving Jerusalem, East Jerusalem, where Temple Mount is, to the Muslims, and they're going to call it an international city. Being an international city might sound good to those who know nothing about prophecy, but being the Muslim international city will make it a place where everyone can come and join freely in Muslim prayer. Do you think for a minute that you're going to be able to go to East Jerusalem, to Temple Mount, and have a Christian prayer? No. Are you going to be able to be a Jew and go to Temple Mount and offer up a Jewish prayer? No. It'll be international, but it'll be international only to those Muslims who only intend for people to come and pray in the name of their demon deity. They are going to take this spirit that has been in America, this spirit of rejecting Jehovah, where you can reject the Hebrew God. You can reject Jehovah, you can reject Yeshua, but you can have the Buddhist and the Hindu and the Native American and the Muslim deity. You can say their name, but you cannot say the name of Jehovah in America. They're going to take that spirit from America and plant it on Temple Mount. And who do you think is going to be carrying the spirit of Esau, Nebuchadnezzar, and Antiochus to the Temple Mount in the spirit of the Antichrist? And it's going to be coming from America. Who? Can you name me one person who will be able to do that? When this Obama declaration happens, we will see the Jews go to war over Temple Mount. There will be priests on Temple Mount preparing the altar. And I look for that altar to be shut down in the middle of the week of sanctification. Under this scenario, the priests will be attending the altar under duress, surrounded by Israeli troops or police or perhaps even just Orthodox Jewish fighting men if the state of Israel refuses to send troops or police. In any case, the priests will not be able to hold off the Muslims all that long. So the next event will be the overrunning of Temple Mount and the Antichrist, Obama, if he is the one to unveil himself as the Muslim Mahdi, the guy that comes from Esau, will get on Temple Mount and stop the altar process. In chapter 32, Jacob's ordeal with the man that we believe is the Messiah is actually the ordeal that is happening now in believers the world over who saw this happen yesterday. But especially, it's happening to those people in Israel today. This ordeal represents the crescendo in the life of Jacob dealing with who it is that he has already been dealing with. He's identifying who this is. Now, we've recently witnessed just this past year how the Jews have begun to call for the Messiah, and we have witnessed a great crescendo among Hebrew roots believers over the Messiah too. The splitting in the Hebrew roots movement has to do with this struggle. Jacob struggled, won, and got the understanding. So will we. And then we will be able to go into the land. Genesis 32:24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Notice that Jacob's struggle lasted all night. What does this mean for us? It means that our struggle with and about the Messiah will last all through the night, the great tribulation, the night of the great tribulation. And verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Why? At the end of our struggle, just like at the end of Jacob's, before we get into the land of Israel, we will have to have Messiah's blessing. That blessing will only come after our great struggle with him, with the Torah, and with each other who represent the Messiah. Yes, we individually represent the Messiah, and so we struggle with each other in an attempt to understand the Messiah. Verse 27, and he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and have prevailed. See? Now we are no longer going to be Jacob at the end of the Great Tribulation. We're not going to be Jacob anymore. We're not going to be individuals. We're going to be Israel, the nation. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray you, your name. And he said, Wherefore is it that you ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. It is actually the struggle that we're going through now and that we will go through in the future until the end of the Great Tribulation that will make us say, we have seen God face to face and have lived to tell about it. Do you realize this is the reason the prophets wanted to see this day? They wanted to go through the Great Tribulation to experience this tremendous deliverance of Jehovah's people by Jehovah. Only those who overcome through to the end will get to say that they saw God face to face like Jacob, and they live to tell the tale. They will not be going through the resurrection. See? That's what this means. They're going to see him face to face without having to die first. Brethren, we have so much to look forward to. The prize for us is to make it through the coming Great Tribulation to the end, where we will get to see him face to face without having to die first, where we will be able to become echad with each other and with him, and that we will overcome and become a nation, the nation of Israel, that is able to destroy Esau, who is in the land now. That's where we're headed. We're going to go over there and destroy Esau and get him out of the land and everybody else in the land who is not living according to the Torah and who is not on board with the Lord is going to be gone. We will be a nation. I tell you what, today has been just... Yesterday, I was just kind of... wandering around, I have to say, because I wasn't sure exactly what had happened. It took me studying and midrashing with a dear friend of mine all day long until, in fact, I midrashed with Eddie Chumney. We were on the phone umpteen times until we both really understood what it was that had happened. And now, and I'm just kind of like in shock. You know, you could just lay me down and put a blanket on me, you know, because I'm walking around in the shock of, well, this is happening. It is happening, folks. Yesterday was probably one of the most momentous prophetic days in the history of the earth. We have been looking for this day, and yet I have to tell you that there are people who have contacted me and said, well, that really doesn't mean that. They really didn't do that. So, you know, I guess we'll just have to see when the altar gets set up, but at this moment, I am pretty sure that this is, you know, we're on track for heading into the Great Tribulation. And hey, if I am wrong, then I'm wrong. And I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. So let's just keep praying and let's be strong, and be strengthened, for the end is upon us.